Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, week 10 in the ACC, and it is a special, special week around the parts of this podcast. How are you doing? You ready to go?
It's a special week, you say.
It is. It is. And not only just a special week, but it is kind of like the final of these types of special weeks for a little while, we'll say.
Okay. Continue.
Mike, you know what week it is.
Tecmo Bowl week, baby.
It is Tecmo Bowl week. It is, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, the classic rivalry of this podcast, the rivalry that determines who is the real Tech for the next year within this podcast, is played this weekend. We will be previewing that game here shortly. But before we do that, Mike, we have a little bit of weeknight action we need to get into if you are ready to dive into some of these games.
Oh, let's do it.
Let's do it. Friday night, this is a bit down the card in terms of national interest, I would venture.
Down the card is one way to put it, yes.
7 o'clock on ESPN2 in Chestnut Hill. We've got the Duke Blue Devils on the road taking on the Boston College Eagles. Duke, a 9.5-point favorite, total is 47. There's going to be a theme here tonight. I'll say this for me in particular, of confused a little bit or kind of sketched out by some of these lines.
Right.
Duke being favored on the road by 9.5. Seems like kind of a lot, and yet at the same time, seems like maybe not quite enough with the way that Boston College has been playing and some of the questions surrounding that program right now.
Yeah, here's the thing, too. Like, Duke's not supposed to be any good, you know? Like, they're not really supposed to be any good, but they are. Like, Elko's getting the most out of them. This is a game I think if you looked at before the season on paper, you were like, yeah, it's a game Boston College should win. Now it's like totally the other way around. I think that's reflected in the 9.5-point spread.
Yep.
I mean, I said this on the recap for week 9. Like, BC is considerably one of the worst teams in the Power 5, and it's not even really a question anymore. It's a matter of, like, how many teams are above them. It's not many. They're real bad up front. Phil Dracovic is taking a significant step back. Defensively, they're okay, but like the offense is so bad that, like, even for their defense to be okay, it's almost like almost totally negated, right? 9.5 is a lot, right? But I'm fading Boston College. I got to continue that trend here.
Yeah.
Even on, like, look, I get BC's at home, right? So like, seeing the line of like 9.5 points, I get why it could be like, oh, well, you know, I could see BC kind of backing into a cover. I could see BC, you know, playing up at home a little bit, you know, Friday night. But I mean, it's not like Notre Dame's coming to town or something, right? It's Duke. Like, Duke's coming to town. Like, how up are you going to get for that game, right, as a team? I just really struggle to see BC contain Riley Leonard and the passing attack for 4 quarters. I have trouble seeing Boston College contain Duke's front in the trenches, because I think if we're looking at one area where like Duke's won games this year, and the reason why I think Duke is where they're at is they've been really, really good in the trenches. I brought this up a couple weeks ago when Duke was playing Miami. You know, I thought the one area where Miami maybe wasn't as far ahead of Duke as maybe other skill positions, you know, or positions period, was, you know, Duke's okay in the trenches, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's one area where BC has struggled, it's up front. And that's why I think Boston College is going to have a really, really hard time here. So even with 9.5, even with it kind of feeling like a lot, even, you know, coming into the year saying, you know, Duke's not supposed to be any good, but they're kind of playing a lot better than the roster talent, I would say, because Elko's got him really well coached. All that into consideration, I'm still picking Duke here to cover the 9.5. As far as the total is concerned, give me the over, but like I'm leaning over, right? 47 is a pretty good number, I feel like, on the total. So I'm going to lean over here. But I feel pretty good about Duke in this spot to win the game outright. 9.5 is a little bit spooky with the hook, but I think Duke wins this game comfortably here. I think if BC were to cover, it would be more in like a backdoor cover type fashion. I'm not sure BC is going to be really like in this game at all.
I'm kind of with you. And, you know, I look at this and there's so many things that, you know, again, I feel like this number should almost be bigger. I mean, and one of the first things I can look at, Duke is 5-2 against the spread, Boston College 1-6. I can look at Duke having 5 wins and 4 of them are by at least, well, like 14 points. I mean, they've only had one remotely close win, and that was a Northwestern 8-point win. They beat Temple by 30, NCA&T by 29, Virginia by 21, and Miami they just beat by 24. I mean, so when they're winning, they roll teams. I have questions about Phil Dracovic and his status. I have questions about Zay Flowers and his status. As you mentioned, Boston College in a really bad place in the trenches right now, even probably worse than they were to start the year, especially on that offensive line. Like you said, Boston, yeah. Duke has every ability to just overwhelm them in the trenches. I'm with you. I think Duke wins this game going away. I'll take the over as well. I think this might be something like 38-13 or something like that. I think this is not all that competitive.
No, wow.
I don't think so. I think Duke can absolutely smash Boston College in this game. And I don't love it. You know, I wish better for the Eagles. I wish better for Jeff Hafley and that program and for Dan Rubin and all our friends there. But at the end of the day, I just, with the way these teams are playing and the way things are going and what the vibes are looking like on either sideline, give me Duke.
Great.
Big. I might need to lock this up, honestly. Not just yet. This is my maybe come back to it lock.
Grow a pair.
No.
Okay.
I will not conform to your rules, Mike. I won't do it.
I'm going to leave that right there. Let's move on.
All right. Duke in the over for the both of us. No locks just yet. Let's move on, Mike. All right.
Is Jeff Sims playing?
Oh, I mean, if you listen to the press conference today from Brent Key, apparently he is full speed in practice, which after you were the emergency quarterback like 3 days ago, like you're full speed. Okay.
This is their Super Bowl, Joey.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's everybody's Super Bowl, Mike. It's the Tecmo Bowl. Like, this is a big deal.
It's our Super Bowl.
It's ours. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, at you know, just as the Lord intended, Mike, at 12:30 on Jefferson Pilot Special, my Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets on the road in Blacksburg taking on your Virginia Tech Hokies. Your Hokies, a 3-point favorite at home. The total, a whopping 41.5 points, in case you were hoping to see offense on Saturday. That is not in the forecast. I definitely don't expect Jeff Sims to be a full go. I don't expect him to look right. I don't expect him to look healthy. If he does play, he might only play for, you know, the first quarter, the first half, something like that. I would basically just plan on a majority of this game being Zach Pyron, the true freshman at quarterback for Georgia Tech. For better or worse, I think that's a much better situation than Zach Gibson would be. But it still has its limitations. He's not as mobile as Jeff Sims is. He's obviously, as a freshman, he's going to have freshman moments, make freshman mistakes, especially with Brent Pry's defense, and I'm sure some things that he's going to try to do to confuse him. So I don't love laying points with either team in this matchup, but I will lay them with Virginia Tech. I think give me the Hokies minus a small number, minus the 3. I think they'll find a way to win this game at home. Backs against the wall, the whole thing. Georgia Tech, vibes were great under Brent Key a few weeks ago, but I don't know. Things seem to be fading kind of quick, and we're starting to move on from Brent Key in the head coaching stat and the head coaching search, and you know, seeing what's next.
So I was approaching Virginia Tech's final, well, I would say final four games of the year, but they're most definitely going to lose to Duke. So three out of the last four games for Virginia Tech, I was going to approach it from the standpoint of just kind of take the underdog. So this game, that would mean Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Tech plays Liberty, maybe that's Virginia Tech, maybe that's Liberty. When Tech plays UVA, it's probably going to be UVA. I'm not sure I can do it here. I'm not sure I could take the underdog in Georgia Tech. And the only reason why is because Jeff Sims is not healthy. If Jeff Sims is healthy, I'm taking Georgia Tech here.
Georgia Tech get favored.
Georgia Tech would, yeah. Or, I mean, at worst, it'd be a pick 'em probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I agree. But he's not healthy, and I think that Virginia Tech is going to get Zach Pyron at quarterback, like you mentioned. And I also am of the same mindset where a freshman going up against a Brent Pry defense that has played pretty well all year doesn't seem like a recipe for success on the road. Just does not seem like a very good spot.
No.
With that being said, like, Virginia Tech is awful. They're so bad. And now I got to lay points with my alma mater, and I don't feel very good about that either. So I'm going to hold my nose and take Virginia Tech. I'm going to take the under as well. In fact, with a true freshman at quarterback and Virginia Tech's offense, as bad as it is, Joey, producer Scott, let's lock that bad boy up. Give me the under.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Please.
Easy pick for me.
It's a really small number, and yet, Mike, how long is a regulation football game? How much time's on the clock?
That would be 60 minutes, Joseph.
And if you had to guess across the 60 minutes in this regulation football game that will be played at 12:30 on the Jefferson Pilot Network on Saturday, check your local listings. Of those 60 minutes, how many would you guess that the best unit on the field will be the defense?
I'm going to go with 60 minutes, Joey.
Minus maybe like 1 minute for like special teams plays when there's not really when there's not really defense. But other than that, yeah.
Sure.
No, yeah. Defense is going to be the best unit on the field for both teams all day long. And 41.5 is a small number, but mama didn't raise no coward. So, yeah, let's lock that up as well. I'll take under 41.5. Give me – lock it up.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Please.
What's funny is my buddy Adam, who's a listener to the show, he's a Georgia Tech alumnus and fan and all that, texted me this afternoon saying, I haven't even listened to the show yet. I bet you guys both locked up the under in this game, huh? Well,
Adam, that's correct.
Speaking of Nostradamus stuff, like me predicting Wake Forest is going to have 6 turnovers in the third quarter, which I didn't.
I was going to say.
We don't have to talk about that.
Right.
Good job,
right.
Adam. You are correct.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Small number, but... And the real concern is you can run into like a special teams touchdown or a defensive score or a turnover deep in somebody's territory and just get like cheap points. But mama didn't raise no coward.
Producer Scott, question for you. What finishes with a higher total? The amount of beers you drink in Blacksburg on Saturday afternoon or the amount of points scored in this football game?
So I've been planning a tailgate of sorts for that exact reason, and I mean, I'll just drop this right now.
I don't care. I'm a sicko.
I'm gonna have about 40 beers.
Hell yeah.
I say beers plus 3.5.
Beers plus 3.5.
They sell them in Lane Stadium now. I didn't think I was gonna make it to a game this year. I'm just gonna enjoy Blacksburg for what it is, and the football will just be like a side activity. So any Hokies listening know that you can have a good time there without a football game. That's what I'm going to do.
1,000%. I like that attitude.
In general, I'm with you, Mike. I don't like laying points with Virginia Tech at all. I was fully prepared to just take the points with anybody here, but the more I think about it, I cannot trust Zach Pyron on the road against Brent Key. I can't do it.
Brent Key? Brent Pry. Playing against his coach.
Brent, yeah.
Name
Battle
that Brent.
The Brents.
Yeah, Battle of the Brents, baby. Name that Brent. Battle of the Brents. Name this podcast the Battle of the Brents. Hell yeah.
Battle of the Brents.
Tecmo like Bowl. That. Battle of the Brent edition.
Man, this rivalry has been through some different phases over the years.
I've seen some stuff.
And we talk about this as a particularly special one because this is the last time they'll be playing this on a regular, like, annual basis, unfortunately. Right. This is unfortunately, I think, one of the key casualties of the ACC's new scheduling model is that this will no longer be an annual game, and that sucks.
It sucks for this podcast, certainly.
Mm-hmm. I think it sucks in general. I mean, you look at some of the games that are replacing this one, and there's less investment, it seems like, on each side. You know, you kind of would have rather seen this one continue annually, personally, but, you know, to each their own.
Well, thank God I get to watch Virginia Tech play Boston College every year. Still.
Hokies minus the 3, and we have both locked up under 41.5 for the final annual edition of the Tecmo Bowl at 12:30 on the Jefferson Pilot Network, as the Lord intended. So check your local listings. Let's keep going here. Noon on the ACC Network, as I believe the Astros have just finished a combined no-hitter of the Phillies in Game 4 of the World Series, by the way.
That's how you get the momentum back.
That'll work. The number 17 North Carolina Tar Heels at noon on the ACC Network. They're on the road in Charlottesville taking on the Virginia Cavaliers. North Carolina, a 7.5-point road favorite. Total is 60.5. Mike, why is this number only 7.5?
I don't know.
Virginia just needed 4 overtimes to get to 12 points against Miami. Like, and I realize that North Carolina's defense may be slightly worse than Miami's, but like...
It ain't that bad.
How many points is Virginia scoring in this game?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it ain't that bad. And I see the 60.5 is the total, and I'm thinking, I mean, is Carolina getting there by themselves? Like, why is the total 60.5?
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't get this. I don't get the spread. I don't get the total. I don't understand it. Again, Carolina's defense is not very good, but like, Virginia's offense, like, as a standalone entity, is not very good, right? Like, take defenses out of it, this offense is not very good. I know kind of the rule has been, yeah, okay, North Carolina, in a game where Carolina plays, like, you got to bet the over. I'm not feeling that this week. I'm not feeling that. Not after what I just witnessed in Charlottesville last Saturday. I'm not about to just all of a sudden say, yeah, UVA is going to score enough for this game to go over. By the way, UVA's defense, not terrible. So now all of a sudden, I'm going to expect Carolina to get to 60.5 most of the way themselves, and then UVA's got to score some points too. I don't know, man. I'm going to go under here for sure, and give me Carolina. I don't understand the line. Maybe I'm being tricked here. This line stinks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure which direction it stinks in. So, give me the heels. Give me the heels in the under.
I'm with you to the extent that I don't have a whole lot to add. I don't understand this line.
Like, I don't get it.
We got into it on Twitter a little bit yesterday with a couple of fans. We record this on Wednesday night, so it was on Tuesday that we got into this with a couple of fans of North Carolina that we weren't giving their defense enough credit. Which is just a very confusing argument to make. Like, this is a team with an offense ranked in the top 10 nationally by a lot of the, you know, most respected advanced metrics. That's like the number 7 offense in SP Plus, and their defense is outside the top 100.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's very clear, and nobody's under any illusions of like how North Carolina is winning these games. Like,
they're outscoring people. They gave up 1,100 yards in like total in like a 2-week period, like this month, and I'm sorry, I guess last month, now it's November, last month, and I was being told on Twitter that Carolina had a defense that was improving. On the basis of what? They played you, like, on basis of what?
The only thing that anybody has mentioned that I will even give a little bit of credence to is, well, no, we were talking about scoring defense. Just look at the number of points that they've given up, which is basically to say that they've given up yards hand over fist, gotten into the red zone, and just been winning red zone roulette over and over and over. And at some point, that bill becomes due. The problem is, Mike, if you just like look at red zone offenses, not only ACC, but maybe across the country, Virginia has to be one of the absolute worst. Like, this has been their problem all year. They can move the ball between the 20s. They cannot get into the end zone, and oftentimes they can't even kick field goals. Like, they can't get points on the board when they get down to the 15-yard line. Like,
yeah. It's,
so that's the thing is, I you know, if that's what North Carolina is doing, is just playing red zone roulette and winning, I have no reason to think that Virginia is going to be the team to break that streak. So, yeah, give me North Carolina. I'm with you. I'm spooked by this line. Like, I feel like I'm missing something or someone knows something.
UVA scored 6 points in regulation last Saturday.
Yeah.
Six.
They had 4 plays from the 1 yard line against Miami and they couldn't punch it in. Like, they came away with no points. It just, I don't know, man. And that's the thing. Yeah. We can do the whole Tony Elliott and
I might just lay. I might, I might actually bet this game, just lay him with Carolina. I don't. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I won't be betting it because I won't be betting it because, you know, in Virginia, you can't bet UVA. So, whatever. Anyway, in theory, I'd be laying them.
Well, if you wanted to Venmo me a couple bucks, I can see what I can do for you on that.
Yeah. We can use BetUS.
I don't think anybody uses BetUS, Mike. That's okay.
It's America's favorite online sports book. Continue.
That's what they say. I'm on the under as well because I think Carolina can score plenty. I don't know that Virginia is going to do their part to keep up.
Let's say 42-10.
Yeah, something like that. That's under. Right. For that improving North Carolina defense, go Heels.
Yeah, whatever. God. I don't hate Carolina, by the way. I got some tweets about that too. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't either. I mean, they're coastal foes, I guess, but like they're fun to watch on offense for sure. I love Drake May. Like, I love Phil Longo's offense. I got no problems with the Tar Heels for what it's worth.
Yeah, they're fine.
I like Mac Brown. I think he's a good guy. Hope the best for him.
Yep.
All right, Carolina and the under for the both of us in that game. Weird line, and feels like somebody knows something here. I don't know.
I'm just shaking my head. I don't get it.
Mike, we have some more action to preview, but before we do, let's remind the people about section103.com. It is the internet's premier place to buy all things wonderful Georgia Tech apparel. They've got the official Tech Gold. They have t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts. They have official word marks. They've got that ATL logo. They got something for the whole family, men, women, and children. Everything that you need to support Georgia Tech can be found at section103.com. I love mine. I've got several different options. You have a Section 103 shirt that declares that Bobby Dodd Stadium is your happy place.
And I just have the plain Georgia Tech one as well that Stephen was so kind as to... Oh, by the way, anniversary this past week of the jerseys getting stolen and Virginia Tech having to wear the Georgia Tech practice uniforms or whatever they were, alternates.
If they had just brought their Section 103, they could have worn that.
Well, that's right. Well, Stephen had the tape across and had Virginia written in instead of Georgia Tech, which I appreciated. So.
That's right. Funny story, I tweeted out that I was at that game as a high school junior, and I didn't really know what had happened until after the fact. And I tweeted that for the sake of mentioning that, in case I still need an alibi, I was not the guy that took those jerseys out of the Virginia Tech locker room. I just want to make that very clear.
Yeah, well, innocent until proven guilty anyway.
The point is, Mike, if you're looking to support Georgia Tech, go to section103.com, use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order. They have all sorts of wonderful, high-quality, great-looking apparel. For whatever reason, it is hard to find t-shirts, sweatshirts, those kinds of things with official Georgia Tech logos on them, but you can find them at section103.com. So if that's what you need, that's where you go. And you use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order. Really appreciate Steven and the gang for their partnership here for the second straight year.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's keep moving, Mike. 3:30 on the ACC Network. The number 20 still ranked Syracuse Orange on the road in it's the big ketchup bottle in the venue formerly known as Heinz Field.
Acrisure Stadium.
Nobody's figured out what Acrisure is yet. They're taking on the Pitt Panthers. Syracuse, a 3.5-point underdog on the road, meaning Pittsburgh, a 3.5-point favorite at home. Total's 48. I feel like the vibes with both these teams, not particularly good right now. Pitt had North Carolina on the ropes through three quarters last week and then lost by like three scores, which North Carolina will do that to you in the fourth quarter. But I realize that Syracuse has lost two in a row. They lost to Clemson. They lost to Notre Dame. I don't know what to do with this game, Mike. Do you feel strongly one way or the other?
Pittsburgh, lock it up.
Whoa.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
Syracuse sicko stuff.
Syracuse cannot stop the run.
I mean, all right, yeah. Well, yeah.
They cannot stop the run.
I mean, they struggled against the run the last 2 weeks against Clemson, whose offensive line has been up and down, we'll say, and against Notre Dame, whose offensive line is much bigger. And that seemed like that was the real sticking point, was Syracuse's defensive front is a little bit undersized. They try to leverage their speed and all that, but when they go up against a really big, bad offensive line, they can just get dominated, which is what happened against Notre Dame. Can Pittsburgh really dominate this Syracuse front with, you know, in the trenches?
Why not?
Are they as big and as dominant as Notre Dame's?
The two offensive lines you just mentioned, too, are like not playing particularly well this year, right?
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, some of that depends on how we quantify that. Like, would we say that about a team that's struggling to run block or a team that's struggling to pass block? Because
that's fair.
Struggling to protect their quarterbacks. But
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. It's more in the passing game than the running game. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Pitt here. I just... You got to stop Izzy Abanikanda for four quarters and show me something, Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Show me something. I really, really like that matchup for Pitt. I really like that matchup for Pitt up front. That's it here. Yeah, I mean, it's a sicko's pick, certainly. I mean, Pitt's 2-6 against the spread this year, so like that's not lost on me. Yeah. But this is just... This feels like a good matchup for Pitt offensively. And they're scoring some points. I mean, they've been underwhelming in the passing game. Like, Keaton Slovis is just not very good. And, mm-hmm. you know, I get they lost a lot at receiver. But, yeah, I just like this matchup for Pittsburgh. Now, on the other side, like, Pitt's defense, a bit up and down, right? And Syracuse's offense, I think there are going to be some opportunities there for Syracuse in the passing game.
Big question mark. Yeah, big question mark is Garrett Schrader playing in this, or is it Carlos Del Rio Wilson?
Right.
I think I got that right.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah, nailed it.
And, like, Pitt's passing defense has been, like, let's call it suspect at times this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what can Syracuse produce in the passing game? That's a big question for me. Because I think Pitt's rushing defense will be able to key in on Sean Tucker. And Syracuse's offensive line, at least blocking for the running game, has been worse. That's been kind of what they're weakest at. They've, you know, they were winning games early in the year in spite of not being able to run the football. So, can you throw a little bit on this Pitt defense? I think you can. Are you going to be able to protect the quarterback? That's a big question here. Against a pretty good Pittsburgh front. I like Pitt here. I like Pitt at home. That's where I'm at.
I'm going to take Syracuse in the points. And okay. I think I'm going to say that Syracuse wins the game outright.
Ooh.
And I don't feel great about it. Again, with all the... I mean, there's questions about not only Garrett Schrader, you know, is he going to play or is it going to be Carlos Del Rio Wilson? We also found out this week that the other Garrett on the team, Garrett Williams, one of the best corners, not only in the ACC, but in the country, he is done for the year. I think he blew his ACL against Notre Dame. That's not great. But as you said, Keaton Slovis in that Pittsburgh passing attack has been less than potent for a majority of the season. So I'm not that afraid of it. And once again, I mean, Syracuse's defense, I think that they, that scheme, when a quarterback is not seeing it regularly, has not seen it year over year, especially if there's not multiple teams in the conference running it or whatever. Like that 3-3-5 that Tony White is running. We got Tony Elliott, Tony White, and Tony Gibson in this conference. Tony White running that 3-3-5. That is a confusing and difficult to decipher kind of system for opposing quarterbacks. I do not trust Keaton Slovis to have a good day in this situation. This is like a contrarian, you know, buy low kind of pick. So give me Syracuse outright, I think, to win this game. I think that they'll be able to contain Pitt's offense enough, even with the pieces that they do have. I think they'll be able to move the ball enough, even if Garrett Schrader doesn't play. I think in a way, the other thing that I noted, by the way, we do realize that this whole like distribution of the ball thing it changed drastically when Del Rio Wilson came into the game last weekend. This might just be a Garrett Schrader thing that really he only wants to give the ball to Sean Tucker and Aronde Gadsden. Like, spreading the ball around a little bit could have some really significant positive impacts for the Syracuse offense as well. So I'll take Syracuse to win the game. Total's 48. I'm going to take the over as well. These are two teams that I don't really love taking overs in. I think their defenses are better than their offenses, and yet something about this game, I just get weird vibes. Not a super high number. I feel like this could get a little bit pointsy, like get into the 30s, or be like a 31-28 kind of game. So give me the over.
Yeah, I'm on the over as well.
Yep. Syracuse got to go on the road and get themselves up off the deck, as Stanford Steve would say, after a couple of losses in a row. I think they can get back.
I'm locking up Pitt. Whatever.
I did some digging while you guys were talking on the injury. All I could find was there was a podcast today, The Orange Zone, released by some guy named Tommy, who I think works with, that
Tommy DeVito
about it. No, but the official depth chart did have Schrader listed at the top. So,
all right, that's worth more than nothing, but up to interpretation of how much more than nothing the official depth chart means to you. That's a discussion for a different show, I guess I'll say.
That'll be the next thing we get mad at Tom Fernelli. That's the next thing.
There you go. All right. Over for both of us. You've got Pitt locked up, Mike. I've got Syracuse. I think they can win that game outright. We will keep moving here. At 7:30 p.m. on NBC Peacock. Is this
NBC
like
and or?
Okay, so it's on NBC and Peacock, not NBC Peacock, as in you can only stream it if you pay for their premium service.
No, that was the UNLV game.
Yeah, that's just continues to be a super weird business model. So, 7:30 p.m. on NBC if you got the rabbit ears or anything else that gets NBC. Number four,
the rabbit ears.
The number four, yeah. Clemson Tigers playing behind a paywall. Not really a paywall, just kidding. Number four, Clemson on the road in South Bend, taking on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Clemson, a 3.5-point road favorite. Total is 44. Mike, Notre Dame playing a little better.
They are.
Clemson going on the road. Offense has been suspect. How do we feel about this number?
So, not great. Mm-hmm. Not great, full disclosure. So I've been back and forth on this, right? Because I look at kind of Notre Dame's season. I think about how they looked at Ohio State, right? And how well they played in that game, despite clearly not having the offensive firepower to keep up. You know, when Ohio State's offense was right, you know, kind of as we saw in the second half, Notre Dame led that game at halftime. But it was pretty clear that the Irish were going to have to find a way to manufacture some points in the second half to actually win that football game. Mm-hmm. So it never really felt like they had control of that game by any means. I think about that. I think about like the Marshall loss, where they kind of quit committing to running the football. I think the same about the Stanford game, where they just kind of quit committing to running the football. And then I think about, you know, how good Notre Dame looked against BYU, right? How good they looked offensively. Granted, UNLV is garbage. How good they looked offensively against UNLV. I think about how good they looked in the dome against Syracuse last Saturday. Like, mm-hmm. They committed to running the football. I've been really back and forth on this. The reason why I'm going to go with Clemson here is because Clemson's rushing defense is really, really good. And I'm just not sure Notre Dame is going to be able to impose their will in the trenches and run the football the way they want to in this game. And I don't think Drew Pine gives them enough in the passing game. And look, it's not even – it's easy to point to a quarterback and be like, okay, Tyler Buchner got hurt. He's out for the year, and it's been Drew Pine's show. And Drew Pine's been fine, but like it's clear that there's – a limited ceiling with him at quarterback. But more importantly, like Notre Dame's receivers have really been struggling to separate all year. It's been basically Michael Mayer or bust at tight end. And the thing about Clemson is like, they're going to be able to A, stop the run, and B, cover Michael Mayer. So after that, like how does Notre Dame move the ball in this game? I don't know how they do it. Now I think Notre Dame's defense will keep them in the game. I think Clemson will struggle to score a bunch here, but I think they'll score enough. So I look at the total, right? I look at the total in this game. You know, the fact that it's sitting at 44, I like the under, and I like Clemson. I think that's how I'm playing this, because I just, every way I look at this, I don't know how Notre Dame moves the ball unless Clemson just decides they're going to not cover Michael Mayer. And I feel like they're going to double him and they're going to stop the run, and I don't know how Notre Dame moves the ball after that. So that's why I'm picking Clemson.
I completely agree. I'm right there with you. I don't know how Notre Dame moves the ball in this game. I think that Clemson can hold up against the rushing attack. I don't think that Drew Pine is going to be able to carve up Clemson's secondary. I don't think that Notre Dame has the dudes in the receiving core to do work against Clemson's secondary. So this feels like it's going to be an ugly game. Notre Dame scoring, I mean, you can maybe break a play here or there. For a lot of yardage, maybe your defense can force a mistake, you know, create a turnover in Clemson territory, kind of create a short field for yourself, that kind of thing. But like, if Notre Dame is starting with the ball on their own 20-25 yard line all night long, like you're not getting in the end zone more than like twice, I would bet. So that's where I'm with you. Give me Clemson minus the 3.5. I like the under as well. I think this could be like a 24-10. Like slog of a game of sorts.
Yeah. I don't think Notre Dame's gonna get blown out here or anything like that. Mm-mm. Like I think Notre Dame will be game, you know what I mean? Like I think they'll play well.
Their defense will hold up against Clemson's offense pretty well, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And like I don't think Notre Dame is quite as bad as their record. Like they should have beaten Stanford, they should have beaten Marshall. Ohio State game is what it is, but they've looked, in some of these games they've played this year, they've looked good, and you've seen like the best version of Notre Dame, but even the best version of Notre Dame does not have a good passing attack. No. So that's just kind of what I keep turning to. That you think about the games I mentioned, the BYU, the Syracuse, like, you know, those are like two quality opponents, right? And then there's like the UNLV game, which was a blowout. They didn't really have a really good passing attack in that game. You think about the Stanford game, no passing attack. Marshall, no passing attack. Like,
if they had, the Marshall and the Stanford game in particular, they lost those two games by a combined 7 points. And now if, like, just totally ignore the fact of what Marshall and Stanford are, which are both pretty rough teams right now.
Not good. Not good.
But, like, if they had won those games by a field goal and Notre Dame was 7-1, what would we be saying about the Irish, you know, which, you know, if you had asked me, if you just come up to me on the street today, put a bag over my head, threw me in a van, and said, "What is Notre Dame's record?" I would not have said 5-3. Like,
right?
It doesn't feel like 5-3 right now. It feels worse, you know. So
yeah, that's the funny part, right? Mm-hmm. The discourse has been this team's really bad because of how bad the two losses were, but then you look at kind of what they've looked like at their best. And they don't look like an elite team, but they look like a pretty good team. But like the best version of Notre Dame's offense is running it down your throat. I don't see them doing that here. And I think the only way Notre Dame wins this game is if they're able to establish a running game, which seems like a pretty big ask against the best rushing defense they've played all year.
The interesting thing is looking back at the Ohio State game, and that was week one. But I bring that up because Ohio State had a bad time trying to throw the ball against Notre Dame.
They did.
Week
a lot
one,
of teams have.
Yeah. Week one, maybe we can excuse it away. But the question, I guess, becomes, you know, is Clemson's passing attack enough to supplement its rushing attack in this game for what Notre Dame's defense is going to do. And that's where 44, I think, is too many points. I think this is a low-scoring kind of situation.
Carolina had, I know they ended up scoring 32 points and it looked better at the end, but like some of those were garbage time. Carolina had a bad time throwing the ball against Notre Dame's defense. Notre Dame's got a very, very good defense. So I think Clemson's going to struggle to score here.
Yep. I agree. I think they score enough to win the game. I don't think they score a lot. So yeah, give me Clemson like 24-10, 24-14, something like that. I think it's relatively low scoring.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Clemson and the under for the both of us. Let's keep moving, Mike. Let's pick up the pace here. This is at 6:30 Central, 7:30 on ESPNU. The Louisville Cardinals are at home taking on the James Madison Dukes. Louisville, a 7.5-point favorite. Total is 52.5. Mike, the big question here, I think, is Todd Senteo playing for James Madison? And I know that everybody's podcast is, you know, somebody's first. Just so that you're aware, Todd Senteo is James Madison's quarterback. I know almost everybody out there knew that, but just for the few people who didn't, he is. I'm making a joke here. He's their. Oh. He's their. Yeah. Todd Senteo is James Madison's quarterback. He's their best player. He was really driving their offense. He missed last week with an injury, and all of a sudden, James Madison looked bad. They were 5-0 through 5 weeks, and then have lost 2 in a row now. And so the question is he healthy? What is his status? It seems like with the nature of his injury, I think it was an oblique strain. It was kind of a game-time decision last week against Marshall. He did not play. I would imagine with an extra week here, he probably does.
Plus the bye.
Plus a bye week. That's right. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago against Marshall.
God, can you believe they lost to Marshall?
Who loses to Marshall? Gosh. Go Irish.
Go Irish, baby.
You know, the vibes are good with Louisville right now. And the vibes are bad with James Madison.
What a sick thing to say. Yes.
Mike, give me the Dukes. Give me the Dukes and the points. I don't know that they'll win the game outright. I think they're going to make Louisville sweat it at least a little bit. I think Senteo plays. This number being 7.5 feels a little bit low for a Louisville team at home. It feels like it's a little too easy. I think a little bit of what Louisville's doing is smoke and mirrors. So I think James Madison keeps this thing close and makes it a little sweaty. So give me the Dukes plus the 7.5.
Nothing like losing to a new FBS team to all of a sudden bring back hot Cedarfields.
Hot Cedarfields. Shout out to Tom.
I think I'm on the Dukes. I think I'm on the Dukes.
Do they win? Louisville,
no, I don't. I don't. Well, okay. They could. I mean, they could. I don't think they do. I think Louisville wins. I think James Madison could. They could. Now, if Louisville losing to a first-year Sun Belt team is definitely not something that Scott Satterfield wants to add to his resume, so to speak. Don't put that under, like, you know, you have a resume. Don't put that under, like, extracurricular activities. Like, that's not something you want to add at the bottom. Other skills. I know. Pivot tables, VBA, and losing to first-year Sun Belt teams. Like, don't.
Proficient in Microsoft Office.
Yes. Yeah. Because we already know he fibbed about being proficient in coaching, right? So you can't lie again on the resume. You can't lie. You can't lie multiple times.
He doesn't even interview for other jobs right. He just lets people know about it.
Yeah, anyways. He talks about being homesick. Like, I know. What a moron. Oh. Love you, Scott Satterfield. Maybe we'll have him on the podcast sometime once he gets fired.
I doubt it, but I'd love it.
Well, definitely, yeah. If he listens, yeah. I mean, especially not if he listened to the last, like, I don't know, 35, 40 seconds of this podcast. Yeah, give me the Dukes. Give me the Dukes to cover, and give me the over. Hell, whatever. Give me the over. Dukes in the over. Louisville
total
wins.
52.5. I'll take the over as well.
Yeah. Two teams have been able to score some points this year, assuming Senteo's healthy. If Senteo's not playing, then give me Louisville and under probably, because I'm not sure Louisville's going to score 52 by themselves. And I'm not sure if like James Madison's going to score much. So
if Senteo's not playing, give me Louisville by 2 touchdowns. I mean,
yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially with the way that Louisville defense has been playing the last month or so. It has gotten a lot better, by the way. And I think that's one of the keys that I think will make sure that they win this game is the way that defense and that pass rush is playing for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
So, all right. Louisville to win, Dukes to cover, and over 52.5 for the both of us, Mike.
I think there's one last thing we should consider about this game.
Uh-oh.
The Dukes have had the week off, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to a bowl game.
Right.
It's the biggest game left on their schedule.
This is their Super Bowl.
And Louisville's coming off that big win against Wake.
Feeling themselves?
Yeah. They could get got. I don't know.
Oh, they could absolutely. They could get got. 1,000%.
This is not a Louisville team that is immune to losing to, like, anybody right now. Like,
no.
The loss is on the table every week.
Yeah, every week. No, they're there. That's why Satterfield is where he is in terms of his job security. So
that's right. That's right. Mike, it's 7:30 on ABC. This is our nation's one of our nation's finest traditions. The Florida State Seminoles on the road in South Beach taking on the Miami Hurricanes. Florida State, a 7.5-point road favorite. Total is 53. Mike, you know what they say about this game? You can just you can throw the records out. It's not like other games. It works differently. The guys are trying harder. It's something special. It's something different.
Right.
Mike, we're laying 7.5 with Florida State. Lock it up.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
I did a very poor job of prompting producer Scott on that one. So that's on me. That's my fault.
I was thinking the soundboard was dead again. So
No, that's my fault. This game is maybe it's different. I don't know. It was in years past, and I remember earlier in this podcast history, we'd bring on Cam to help preview this game, and he would tell us how different it is. The last couple of years, it does not seem like it's different. It seems like the better, more competent team is winning every year, and Florida State just looks way, way better than Miami does right now. Not a chance that I am looking to bet Miami in a game. And by the way, part of the reason for that, and I'm not making this up, Miami so far is, what are they, 3-5? 4-4. They're 4-4. They've played 8 games, 7 of them against FBS competition. Would you like to know, Mike, how many of those 7 games against FBS competition that they have covered the spread in?
I'm going to go with 1, General.
The next one will be the first one, Mike.
Oh, my God.
They have not covered against FBS competition yet this year. So, like hell, am I taking 7.5 points against a very competent, very good Florida State team in this game? No way. No thank you. Florida State minus 7.5. Lock it up. Total's 53. Over. I don't know. Sure.
Thought you were having a stroke, so glad you came out of that.
I almost did trying to process what's going to happen at 7:30 on the ABC.
Yeah, brain went off there. You know, we have a double barrel lock. I've locked up one other game. It would be a little unruly of me to lock up a third game. But then again, I think
for a
back,
second week in a row.
Yeah, but then I think back to last week, and I believe I went 3-0 on locks, didn't I?
I believe you
I don't
did.
Care. I mean, I'm a sicko. I don't care. I'm a sicko. When you're hot, you're hot. Florida State, my 7.5, double barrel times 2. We're locking it up.
Let's go.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
We got locks all over the damn card. Let's go, baby. Let's
Littering
go.
Littering the card with locks.
Literally everything you said amplified. Everything you said. I have nothing else to add. Miami is very bad. They scored 14 points without scoring a touchdown last week. They were the team that lost a little bit worse than UVA did on the road. That's why they won the game. Terrible football team. We don't know the health status of Van Dyke either. We got the kid who thinks he's Jeff Garcia playing quarterback. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. They're catching 7.5 at home. Like, come on.
Florida State's the better coach team by a mile at this point. Like, we've been complaining about Miami's coaching all year long.
Oh, yeah. Norvell's got him coached up, man. And, like, we've we just finished up a segment. We were talking about Notre Dame, that we think Notre Dame's better than their record. You want to talk about a team who's better than their record? Florida State is 5-3. They had a very tough schedule in the month of October. They could have easily won that NC State game, right? At the very least. They should be at least 6-2. This is a good Florida State team. A very good Florida State team. In my opinion, they're going to finish the year ranked. They could win 9. This is a very good football team.
I think so too.
Yeah. They're like a year or two away from being like, with Norvell being like top 10 good, I think. They're heading that direction, I think. So.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Florida State, team trending one way, another team trending the other, and I'm not picking the home dog here. No chance.
Definitely not. Florida State locked up for the both of us and the over. Mike, let's move on. Last one. Let's wrap it up quick here. I've got parenting duties to attend to here. 8 o'clock on the ACC Network. The number 21 Wake Forest Steamin' Deeks on the road in Raleigh, taking on the number 22 NC State Wolfpack. Wake is a 4-point road favorite in this game. Total is 54. Mike, we know how weird this game always gets. This is also a weirdly small number. Give me the home dog, NC State. I don't have good reasons. I think maybe MJ Morris gives them a little something special at this point. They looked decent in the second half last week. Give me NC State to cover. And you know what? We'll just say that NC State wins outright. How about that? Go Pack.
Yeah, you can have that. Give me Wake. I think Wake bounces back here. Yeah, I mean, MJ Morris I thought was pretty impressive coming in against Virginia Tech, but Wake lost that game last week, but they had 8 turnovers. That's not going to happen again. I think Hartman plays better. I think they play better as a unit. Give me Wake. Wake wins, covers. They'll be fine. And give me the over as well.
I haven't taken enough unders tonight, so I'll take the under. I don't have a lot of analysis here. I don't really know what to make of this game.
I like your reasoning on the total there. I haven't taken many unders tonight, so this is the last game we're previewing. Gotta take an under somewhere. This is where it's going
to
be.
That's right. Let's do it. I don't know what to expect. This game always gets really weird and wild. So definitely watch it if you get a chance. Got a second screen, whatever. Make sure you get a chance to see this game. But I don't really know what to expect. These teams are in pretty weird places, honestly.
Fair enough.
So, Mike, that is all I've got on Week 10. Anything else before we work on getting out of here?
Nah, man, I think we're good.
To recap some locks, you and I, we both have double barrel locks on under 41.5 in the Tecmo Bowl between Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. We have Florida State minus the 7.5 against Miami. You also have Pittsburgh minus the 3.5 against Syracuse.
I don't care. I'm a sicko.
That was not the sound drop. That was that was just another admission. So that's fine.
Yes.
Mike, let's get out of here. Let's enjoy some Week 10 games and come back and recap them. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Until then, we are on Twitter. I'm at FTRS Joey. He's at Mike McDaniel SI. Together, we're at BC Podcast ACC. We're on YouTube. Go find the videos of these podcasts. Go hit the subscribe button to search for Basketball Conference. We would really appreciate that. We are on iTunes, Spotify, all the good places you go find podcasts. You can send us an email with questions, comments, concerns, the longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Appreciate those who do. We're not the best at responding. We're trying, I swear. I swear we are. Mike, where else on the social medias can they find us?
Facebook.com/basketballconference rate review. Find a few of our podcasts there.
Definitely do. And do it for the gram. We're on at BC Podcast ACC on Instagram.
Good content there.
Please do. And use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order at section103.com.
Also on Instagram.
Do it. Mike, enjoy the games. We will talk afterwards.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, until then, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, I am Joey Weaver. Enjoy Week 10. We will talk to you afterwards. And until then, go ACC.